Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage.
1-2. Swing and a miss. Troy goes down, and that is the ball game. The Houston Astros are headed back to the American League Championship Series for a third straight year. Astros win it by a final of 6-1 and take the series in 5 games, 3-2.
That's the final call on the Astros radio network. So we now know it will be the Houston Astros to take on the New York Yankees in the ALCS. Of course, the Nationals and the Cardinals in the NLCS. And we are pleased to welcome a man who remembers the playoffs. Chris Dickerson spent 7 years in the majors as an outfielder for a variety of teams, including the Yankees in 2011 and 12. Chris, we're so thrilled to have you from the West Coast. Thanks so much for joining us. What do you remember about playoff baseball and being on the field in October?
I mean, it's an exciting time. I mean, it's something that you go into the season, you know, hoping for a chance to have that opportunity. But, you know, I noticed it was just a completely different atmosphere and a different mindset, you know, being in New York in 11 and 12. It's like you expect to be there in October. It's, you know, it's not even a matter of just getting there. It's like, you know, how far are we going to go? So it was really interesting because I didn't realize that the last time that the Yankees had clinched the AL East was when I was there in 2012. So, you know, that experience in itself and being the only two times that I got to go to playoffs and the two times I, you know, got to celebrate a, you know, a division championship was really special. So, you know, it's kind of cool to watch all these celebrations that happened last week and then to see what's transpired now, especially with, you know, the Yankees, the course that they've taken this year is truly exceptional. You know, the way that they've been able to manage one of the greatest seasons ever with, you know, basically like a patch-up guy. And I don't mean, you know, any disrespect because I've been backing those guys all the time, but for those guys to come up from the minor league system, to do what they did is absolutely exceptional. And then you fast forward to, the opposite end of the spectrum and what happened last night in that just catastrophe of a game here.
Right. So for people who don't know, you were born and raised in Los Angeles and you grew up a Dodger fan. You said you were out watching the game last night with a lot of fans at a sports bar. So what happened when Clayton Kershaw gave up those two home runs in the eighth inning?
Everything went out of the building, out of the entire restaurant. It was like you could hear a pin drop, but it was like it was a feeling of, you know, an entire population of just absolutely just being mortified of just what just occurred. And it's just, and it's not just that it's a one thing. It's like, you know, just given, you know, Kershaw coming in and having this happen again. And I remember, you know, the times that I didn't go to, you know, we didn't go to the playoffs. We didn't have the opportunity. You know, I come back for Dodger playoffs and I go to the games and to see the, you know, the Kershaw meltdown year after year, you know, in person. The first year was St. Louis, you know, here in LA, and then it was St. Louis, you know, it was Kershaw at St. Louis. And then, you know, just the last two debacles with the last two World Series. I mean, it was like, it was genuine disgust. It was genuine disappointment. And just all the air was completely removed out of the entire building. It was crazy.
Man, I can only imagine what it was like to watch with a bunch of Dodgers fans. And then the Howie Kendrick grand slam in the 10th inning prevents LA from reaching a third straight World Series or even competing for one. And yet that organization, like the Yankees, like the Cardinals, even though they haven't been there for a few years, they have really high expectations every time they step on a baseball diamond. You played in pinstripes, Chris. So how different is it from the other places that you played, like Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore, and Milwaukee?
I think it's just that as soon as you, you know, as soon as you walk into that locker room, as soon as you put that uniform, you just, there's a different set of standards that's expected of you. You know, as soon as you, you know, with that team, that organization in that city, I mean, you're playing and you're constructing teams to win the World Series every year, you know, with that history of winning, you know, it's just like, it's, you know, that's what the gold standard is. And, you know, and just that it's an immense amount of pressure, you know, being under there. And you know how it is. I mean, there's nothing like being in the New York sports market where there's so much expected. But, you know, then you take it to the next level, to the Yankee level, and just, you know, you're expected to be there every year. It's, you know, like I said, it's just how far are you guys going to, you know, progress through the playoffs. So that's a tough, you know, it's a tough gig. But one thing I do admire about St. Louis is that they just find a way to win every year. I mean, they're just like, you know, they're a perennial playoff team, and they're going to come in. They may not be, you know, completely overwhelming favorites, but they're going to find their way in, and they're going to battle every year.
Right, and they're back into their first NLCS since 2014. Incredible series for them against the Atlanta Braves. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're spending a few minutes with Major League Baseball veteran Chris Dickerson, an outfielder for 7 years with a variety of teams around the league. You played in New York, and you've talked about the expectations there, but what about the fan base, Chris? How does the passion of New York baseball fans compare to what else you experienced around the majors?
Oh, you mean like was it 2011 playing in Tampa Bay for the last game of the year, and you know, they had Tampa had to win to clinch the wild card spot, and there was only like 22,000 fans there.
Ah.
So like just the dichotomy there is crazy. You know, it's like even with a great team, the fan support isn't there, and just kind of, you know, moving throughout my career. And just experiencing so many different fan bases, you know, again, New York, there's nothing that can touch that. You know, we would go on the road and we would have more people at batting, more Yankees fans at batting practice than, you know, than home fans combined for, you know, the total attendance. So that kind of shows you the passion, the rabid fandom of, you know, of Yankees fans. And it's exceptional.
I would love to get your perspective on two longtime Yankees, since you played for New York in 2011 and 12. The only two guys left over from the 09 World Series team, Brett Gardner and CC Sabathia. And it sounds like CC will be available for the ALCS roster, obviously winding down the last few weeks of his career. Those guys have so much experience and wisdom. What does it mean to have their presence in a clubhouse?
I mean, they mean everything. I mean, those guys ultimately, they're the beacon of the organization, you know, and what it means, what it stands for, you know, the integrity of the game. Well, I mean, everything that CC's been through this year and battling back from injury and just giving it everything he has. And Gardy just, you know, being this transformative player from when he first got in the league to the exceptional things that he's doing now. He's always been one of the most versatile players in the league. Actually, he's grown into one of the most versatile players in the league. You know, he's always been a plus defender, speed, but you know, now with 28 home runs and showing his strength the last couple of seasons. I mean, those two guys, you know, those are the captains of the clubhouse right now. And you know, I remember that was our airplane sequence, and I was in front of Gardy, and then behind Gardy was CC, and so. To see that friendship form over this time is really fun to watch, and seeing them late in their careers, you know, like you can't help just to, you know, want those two guys to go out on top. I can't say enough about those two guys. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to see what happens with that team this year. And, you know, hopefully Gardy can keep his streak going, and, you know, hopefully we get to see CC coming in relief, you know, at some point this postseason.
And the Yankees now know their opponent for game one of the ALCS that comes up Saturday in Houston as the Astros move on. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, spending a few minutes with longtime baseball outfielder Chris Dickerson. And Chris, you mentioned CC. He's been through so much in terms of injuries and physical pain these last few years of his career, and he's fought through all of that. We've seen a couple of older guys make a major impact in this postseason. 35-year-old Ryan Zimmerman has a massive home run for the Nats in Game 4 against the Dodgers. Then it's 36-year-old Howie Kendrick with the huge grand slam and extra innings last night. 37-year-old Yadier Molina is the driving force for the Cardinals. You played for 7 years, and you've talked about the type of physical toll it takes on your body. So how does it affect guys the deeper they get into their careers?
Yeah, I mean, I try to explain this to a lot of guys, and just, you know, being, you know, a professional athlete for so long, you're always going to run into, you know, you always have the fortunate capacity to run across different athletes from different sports, and it always comes up, and it's like, you know, football guys, basketball guys, they all ask the same thing, like, how do you guys do it? And, you know, I ask myself, in retrospect, now that I'm done playing, it's rough. I mean, you think about these 10-day road trips, you think about the trips from Anaheim back to New York, and then having to play a 7 o'clock game, and then having a day off where you just basically sleep and to get, you know, just to regenerate yourself. But to go and play double, you know, day-night doubleheaders, and sometimes back-to-back doubleheaders, and then play a 1 o'clock game on travel day, it's, you know, it's no joke. So, you know, my hat's off to these guys who have extended their career so long. And I know what they're going through right now. It's, you know, once you get older, it's the older you get, the earlier you start showing up to the ballpark. Because you got to get in, you got to get into the hot tub, you know, get treatment and just, you know, just get moving, because, you know, those guys aren't spring chickens anymore. And you're not just showing up, you know, to the field with a quick stretch and jump right into BP. So I admire those guys. And more importantly, I admire those guys in this day and age of baseball, where you've seen the older veteran guy kind of being phased out, you know, because of these analytic models that show, you know, that try to predict these declines in performance. And, you know, in some cases, you have to throw that stuff aside and understand that the human element is there, that these guys are incredibly valuable pieces within the clubhouse, especially when you get to these postseason situations. And, you know, and Ryan Zimmerman's not the same Ryan Zimmerman, you know, that he was, but I mean, these guys are both forces in the clubhouse just as they are on the field.
Really neat to see those guys get their moment in the spotlight as well. And they're toward the end of their careers. A lot of athletes tell me once they retire, they struggle with some of the physical ramifications of having played a professional sport. And I know, Chris, that's something that you talk about publicly. You've had knee pain for most of your life, exacerbated by the time you spent in the majors. Why is it so important for you to raise awareness about osteoarthritis, as well as to try to get people to understand the treatment options?
Yeah, I mean, it's important to me because I've struggled with it for a while, but now, you know, in my older age now, I've seen the impact that, you know, in family members. I know my mom suffers from it. You know, it was probably 6 months ago during Christmas. It was like she went to go to see the orthopedist, you know, said that she was diagnosed with osteoarthritis in her left knee. And by the time I came back, it, you know, 3 months later, you know, it was already significantly worse. And so, you know, this is important to me because in that capacity, I know the struggle. Like, you know, when you're that age, it's so important. You should be just kind of hanging out, enjoying, you know, retirement and traveling. And when it becomes, you know, to the point where you can't travel and you feel like you're going to be a burden on your travel group, that, you know, you can't walk, you can't do the things that, you know, everybody else is going to be able to do on vacation, you know, it mentally, it becomes a burden too, because, you know, it's really difficult to be that person to kind of be the drag on the whole situation. But, you know, being a parent, also, you know, and having to, you know, run after my daughter, you know, and then go to, you know, for normal active parents who have to go to soccer games and, you know, sit around and stand around at soccer or baseball tournaments all day, it affects you mentally. And when that pain starts to that knee really starts to get agitated, it makes you very irritable sometimes. So I've lived it. I know people who are dealing with it. And so that's why this is so important for me to get out and raise awareness about it. And so, you know, just, it was a great week, you know, being in New York last week and being able to have these types of interviews and talk about my experience. And, you know, hopefully through my experience and some of the information that I provided, that it can help others, you know, seek treatment to seek treatment to kind of alleviate that those types of aches and pains.
And it certainly always helps when people know that they are not alone, especially when they're struggling with something like this. He spent 7 years in the major leagues as an outfielder. Chris Dickerson spent 2011 and 12 with the Yankees. So that given us some insight on them in the postseason, now moving forward to the ALCS. I really appreciate a couple of minutes. Thank you so much for your time and your insight.
If you are struggling like I am, I mean, I've had 6 knee surgeries and, you know, I've suffered with this. So, you know, if you're looking for an option, you know, I would highly advise you see an orthopedic specialist to discuss treatment options. So thank you for having me on the show.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Right-hander kicks, delivers, Zim swings and drives one at deep center field. Way back goes Bellinger to the warning track, to the wall. It is gone! Goodbye! Bang! Zoom goes center field!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
One of the old guys making an impact in the October season. This baseball run that we've seen has featured some really cool storylines, like 35-year-old Ryan Zimmerman. You hear the call there on the Nationals radio network. But how about Howie Kendrick, a year older at 36, Yadier Molina at 37. We think that CC Sabathia will be available for the Yankees in the ALCS, plus Brett Gardner. Those two guys going back now with the Yankees more than a decade. And so really cool to think about some of the veterans who've made an impact, and also awesome to hear from Chris Dickerson, who, you know, has some perspective as a former major leaguer himself, but also recognizes the toll that it takes on your body and how much he admires those guys because they still continue to make an impact deep into their 30s. He also called himself old, which I thought was kind of funny. I think he's 37. Baseball old, professional athlete old. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to some QB news coming up following the update, so about 10 minutes from now. You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've now got our second poll up. This is our standard Thursday night into Friday morning poll. It's actually a football Friday now. Which matchup are you most looking forward to on the NFL gridiron? We've given you 4 options. We think the 4 most palatable options, but you always can reply and choose a game of your own. So we've, of course, got Monday Night Football in there with the Lions at the Packers, the Eagles at the Vikings, the Niners and the Rams, another big game for the Rams in the NFC West, and they've lost back-to-back, and then the Saints and the Jaguars. So we'll see if Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints, and of course that New Orleans defense, can continue this win streak and do it on the road at the Mountain of Minshew. So that's on Twitter or on Facebook. 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your calls as well. But did you see Antonio Brown is putting out an APB for the New England Patriots? He's worried that they have forgotten him, and so he put a post up on Instagram.
Hope you guys having a beautiful day. Yeah, you guys follow the Patriots, tell them call me. They still got to pay me, so might as well let me earn it. XFL, never. That was not even in the question. King.
So he's much more subdued than he was the last time we saw him pop up on social media. Now not going after Bob Kraft, or I forgot who else he was going after in his last, they all blend together, in his last social media post. But in this one, he's real kind of laid back and chill. Hey, you guys, if you follow the New England Patriots, can you tell them to call me? I mean, they still owe me money, so they might as well let me earn it. In other words, I'd like to get back and play.
Cut the crap!
He doesn't mention Mr. Kraft specifically, though, and Bob Kraft is the one who made the decision to dispatch him. So, yeah, I don't know. He took the tweet down about Bob Kraft, but I'm not sure that Mr. Kraft is going to forget that easily. So Brown's not looking to play in the XFL, CFL, the AFL. Wait, what was
that?
That
is a high-class problem.
What is the one that didn't make it past the AAF? No, AAC?
Yeah, AAF.
AAF. gosh, quickly how that becomes a distant memory. Let's talk to Jim, who's in Jacksonville. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm good.
I just wanted to thank you for keeping baseball in the forefront. I'm down here in Jacksonville. Minshew mania has absolutely gripped this entire area. A lot of us want to put football on hold for a little while till we get through October, get into the postseason. And I just
But it doesn't work that way, though. You can't do that. I wish I could press the pause button and only focus on one sport at a time, but it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, well, I mean, you do it for a living.
True.
For some of us listeners, you know, we appreciate you keeping baseball in the forefront because they don't on the local stations here. And I just wanted to give a little shout-out to all the Howie Kendrick fans. He played high school ball here in West Nassau County High School in Callahan, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all real proud of him, man. It was a great night for him.
So what team do a lot of the locals in Jacksonville root for? Braves?
Well, I'm a Braves fan. But okay. Since the Braves are out, you know, I mean, we got the local connection with Howie.
Got it.
But since the Braves were out, my wife's an Astros fan, so I guess now I'm pulling for the Astros.
Oh, very cool. Well, at least there are people there who are baseball fans. I know from my time in Oklahoma, there were times when, I would hear from Cardinals fans every now and then that were in Oklahoma, but they really didn't have a rooting interest. And so when I would try to talk baseball, very often there'd be crickets in response because there weren't as many baseball, like pro baseball fans there.
Well, yeah, that's true. But you got a really nice mix on your show. And,
cool.
You know. We really appreciate it. Keep it up.
I'm glad. Jim, have a great weekend. Thanks so much for calling.
You too, thanks.
855-212-4227, our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. All right, either on Twitter or Facebook, you've got a baseball poll, you've got a football poll, you've got carte blanche, as long as you're not swearing at me or using inappropriate gifts. There are some inappropriate gifts out there as well. We'll do some QB news. More talk about week number 6, plus both Tom Brady, Daniel Jones, in the wake of the start of week 6 on Thursday Night Football. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap to Dak. Fade right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake. Looking. Floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! And with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Brees from the shotgun. Has time. Guns it down the middle. And he's going to score!
Goff stands in. He whips it to the 2. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling. Falling down chest high. Heavily covered. Touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Week 6 already underway in the NFL, and it started with a matchup of two quarterbacks who couldn't be in more different places in their careers. The 42, feels like 49, 50-year-old Tom Brady and the rookie Daniel Jones. And both of the offenses struggled for different reasons, but both of these offenses were marked by mistakes as well as injuries, as well as formations that maybe they wouldn't have been using otherwise, as well as turnovers. So for Brady and the New England Patriots, once again getting to rely on the special teams and the defense that scored twice, the Giants had 4 turnovers. They were 2-for-10 on third down. Ultimately, Brady's numbers were okay, 334 yards as well as a couple of rushing touchdowns, while it was tough sledding for the rookie against that Bill Belichick defense.
Happy we won. Happy to get to 6-0. So yeah, we just grinded it out pretty good. Got kind of forced into one group, one grouping there in the second half. I don't think that's ever happened in 20 years, but defense played great. Special teams played great. Outside of a few plays, you know, it would have been pretty good.
Do a number of different things, and they do it well. But I think it was about, you know, our execution. It was about taking care of the ball and a lot of those things that are pretty fundamental. So give definitely credit to them. But I think there's plenty of room for us to play better.
That is true. Three interceptions by Daniel Jones, as well as a fumble by Jonathan Hillman. And while the Patriots defense held New York to just 213 total yards, the Giants shot themselves in the foot with those mistakes and a couple of throws that Jones would surely like to have back. However, you got to credit the Patriots. They moved to 6-0, regardless of who they play or how they do it. 6-0 is 6-0, and we are off in week number 6. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Week 6 marks the return of Sam Darnold, Jets quarterback, as New York will host the Dallas Cowboys. They themselves coming off back-to-back losses. So you got a couple of teams here that desperately want to get in the win column. And, oh, it feels good for Darnold to put on not a red jersey, which indicates he can't be hit, but his regular practice jersey because he's been cleared for contact.
Finally get to wear a white jersey out there and be part of the team. No, it's been good, you know, being able to finally be back officially and get some practices under my belt.
Going back to the first game of the year for the Jets, he had already started to feel poorly. The mono was already setting in, though he didn't know it at the time. And so that was the week in which they coughed up the 16-point lead to the Buffalo Bills. And since then, it's been really difficult. Trevor Siemian gets hurt. Luke Falk, the starter. You just ask Adam Gase, or you look at the eyes of Adam Gase. The offense has been rough. And so here are the Jets at 0-4 with an opportunity maybe boost their confidence and get back into a rhythm against the 3-2 Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys themselves, they were able to pad their offensive stats late in this last weekend against the Green Bay Packers. And sure, they sort of made it respectable at the end, though when your team gives up 31 points on your own field, it's difficult to talk about respectability. They have lost games in two completely different fashions now. First to the Saints and then to the Packers. Scoring a touchdown, not allowing New Orleans to have a touchdown, but then against the Packers, that Aaron Jones / Aaron Rodgers led offense really doing damage at AT&T Stadium. So we'll see what Dak Prescott and the Cowboys have in store, but they also want to get back into the win column. After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. It's going to be a different look for the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football against the Los Angeles Chargers. The Steelers do not have Mason Rudolph. He is in concussion protocol. Scary moment last week for him against the Ravens, the hit by Earl Thomas to his chin. And though he is better and in the facilities, as you can imagine, undrafted Samford product, Devlin Hodges, is just as concerned about his teammate as he is about the upcoming start.
Mason, I mean, he's been telling me he's feeling really well, and it's good just to see him, because that was a scary situation. I mean, a really scary situation. I mean, talking about pretty knocked out, pretty cold, and now to see him here, you know, moving around and smiling and whatnot, it's a good sight.
So right now, Mason Rudolph, still in concussion protocol, is limited in practice, and it will be Devlin who earns his first career starts on the road, national TV, Sunday Night Football, Los Angeles. Oh, so how you feeling there, Devlin?
Feeling good. Like I tell y'all every week, you know, I feel comfortable. I feel confident in myself. So it's just got a great group of guys around me, and I just go out there and compete each and every day.
I guess right now it's still slightly up in the air. There is a chance that Rudolph could get cleared, though that 53-man roster looks like it's going to be a Devlin Hodges as the headline. Gosh, I mean, we've heard Mike Tomlin talk about it this week. Like, I don't have opportunity to think about anything else because I've got my third string quarterback starting, and again, a road game, something that's already been really difficult for them to navigate, that quarterback room without Ben Roethlisberger, or with him only able to talk and offer advice, and they're just getting comfortable with Rudolph. And so here you go. You've got Hodges, who only got onto that 53-man roster because of the injury to Big Ben. So we'll see. Again, maybe limited that he could potentially be out there. Rudolph, I'm referring to. But right now they're practicing as though it's going to be Devlin Hodges making his first career start. Gosh, the quarterback storylines through not even the first month and a half of the NFL season just blows me away. In case you haven't heard, Odell Beckham Jr. is frustrated. It's not been the most seamless transition from Eli Manning as his quarterback to Baker Mayfield. But even if you take the Giants out of it, it definitely requires time and reps. It requires communication. It requires more than maybe a couple of months for a quarterback and a wide receiver to get on the same page. This is not exclusive to OBJ and Baker Mayfield. Really, it's about the entire offense. They've got a bunch of new pieces, a bunch of guys they're trying to get together on the same page. They've got a Freddie Kitchens who's calling the plays now. And so there's just a lot of new and moving parts early in the season. But stop me if you've heard this before. Odell Beckham not thrilled with the way things are going at this point, but Baker's trying to be optimistic.
I hate losing, period. So anytime we lose and I don't feel like I did anything to help win the game, I'm going to be frustrated. It's just the bottom line. I'm a winner in my heart, and I hate losing.
Fully confident, and it's in our control. You know, it starts, you know, with the game plan of guys knowing where to go, getting lined up, and knowing exactly our landmarks, details of your job, your routes. That's in our control.
I do like what OBJ had to say. I'm a winner in my heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm a winner in my heart. And so it's up to Baker Mayfield to keep them focused, to keep them moving forward. He is the leader of the offense. He sets the tone for the locker room. And yes, Freddie Kitchens, that responsibility falls on him too. But Baker's the one who will have the ear of these guys when they're on the field. And so the Browns are reeling. Any team would be reeling after a Monday Night Football game in which they lose 31-3. And no matter what they tried, the Niners knew what was happening and knew how to defend it. And their defense eventually worn out because of all the extra minutes out there on the field. And now here, the Browns will have to take on Russell Wilson, whose completion percentage is at 73%. That's tops in the league, in case you are keeping score at home. Not only does he have a 73% completion rate, his quarterback rating, average right now, is 126. That's his average. I mean, he is playing the best football of his career. It's not been perfect. They've had a couple of games in which the offense, you know, a little disjointed, but I think more of that is about just the start of the season for them. They're at 4-1, and it hasn't always been pretty. They've had to rescue a couple of these wins. So the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, that one going back to week number 2. But certainly that back and forth against the Rams, a huge confidence boost for them, but also the pressure cooker. It just makes your team so much better. And now we're seeing not just what Tyler Lockett can do. Oh, man, he's been elevated to that number one spot seamlessly in the departure of Doug Baldwin, but DK Metcalf and the commitment to the run game and what Chris Carson has turned into as a weapon. So it's been pretty amazing to see the Seattle Seahawks operate, but get better week to week too. And I remember going back to the beginning of the season, they barely edged the Bengals. It was a 1-point lead or 1-point win for them, I should say. And like I said, just got by the Steelers, but now they've settled into a groove, a nicer groove. Their only blemish being a loss to the Saints. Although that was a pretty big one. That was in Seattle with Teddy Bridgewater as the quarterback. And so, like any team, they can lose on any given Sunday. And turnovers can always shoot you in the foot. They can always shoot you in the arse as well. I mean, that was a game, just a weird game where they had 514 total yards. And yet, because the way the Saints played on defense and special teams, gosh, the mistakes, they were just too much to overcome. But they have won now back-to-back games, and the victory against the Rams, I think, could end up being kind of a springboard for them. But we'll see what they do on the road against the Cleveland Browns. So what is the game you're most looking forward to? We've got our poll up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or also on our Facebook page. I am pleasantly surprised that so many of you right now are into Niners and Rams. Right now, more than half of you say that's the game that you're most looking forward to. And there are storylines up plenty everywhere you look. As for Major League Baseball, we've got the start of the NLCS on Friday night. I mean, you guys can be like me. I never make plans on a Friday night. Saturday's my day to be social if I'm going to do anything. But on a Friday night, I'm usually a vegetable. And very often I'm not watching sports. Friday, generally, if I can, I take it free of sports. But since it's the NLCS, I will obviously make an exception. But yeah, sweatpants. Sometimes I cook, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just eat leftovers. Me and the zoo hanging out and being vegetables. So that's what I'm looking forward to on Friday. And then the powerhouse is the heavyweights on Saturday when the ALCS starts, the Yankees and the Astros. Think about this. They combined 210 regular season wins between those two teams. And so the series are different. I mean, they have different character qualities to them. I sound like I'm doing some kind of a psych eval.
You're a fully operational Death Star.
Because you've got, a battle of heavyweights, essentially the blue bloods in the American League Championship Series, and yet two, I wouldn't say out of nowhere, but two teams that are surprises. We love surprises this time of the year, so this is kind of cool. The Cardinals, who are a blue blood but haven't been there in such a long time, and the Nats, who have never been there. And a little bit of, when we get to the World Series, that David versus Goliath. So I love what we've got in store now moving forward the rest of October, even though I don't know how it will play out. So let's talk about it. Coming up after the top of the hour, the Astros get another gem from Garrett Cole. In fact, it's a hashtag Garrett gem. I know it's cheesy, but I use it anyway on Twitter. And then we'll get you set for the championship series. Some really great stuff. Very thoughtful from the starters for the NLCS as well as from both the Astros and the Yankees. So we'll set us up for a good weekend of baseball plus week 6 in the NFL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.